thank you again for joining me again on another evening, another exciting evening with Gab 1930s. I am your host. I'm the designer for the Gab 1930s. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you listeners for tuning in on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. to hear some of the latest tips about men's apparel and fashion. I will be hosting this show for the next 28 minutes, and I thank you for joining me again. And I want you to stand up and give yourself an applause for being on this show with me. This is a live broadcast. I'm not coming live from New York tonight. I'm coming from Washington, D.C., well, this afternoon from Washington, D.C. You know, just to change up the energy a little bit, just to look around the country and see how apparel industry is working in different type of cities. So therefore, I'm just on a little tour right now. But primarily, I'm going to be talking about custom shirts and getting the best possible fit. As you understand, when I first had my inauguration of this particular program, we were talking about the term bespoke, and I had to explain that. So I just give you a little short synopsis on the word bespoke again. Bespoke really was a word that came about like during like the 1800s, when people would go to a tailor. The tailor would have the fabrication at the tailor shop as opposed to it being at a fabric shop. And people would come in and they would tell the tailor, I would like for you to make a garment for me out of that particular fabric right there. And so the term came from bespeak, which means you spoken for that particular fabric. So he would hold that fabric, put your name on it, take your measurements, and he would write down what you would like for him to tailor out of that particular garment. And most of those garments were made based on your specifications of your anatomy. So therefore, this is where the term bespoke was born from. And it's bespoke clothing, as I mentioned before, is that it's only 15% of the apparel buying market actually wear bespoke clothing. No, we know a lot of times when you go to the department stores or to the boutiques, you will see the bespoke stitching in a garment. Now they have set up sewing machines to make a bespoke stitch. But the people that's in the industry know that a bespoke stitch is pulled with a hand and the energy of a man or a woman. And none of the stitches would be lined up perfectly on the garment. You're going to see that little bit of little jagged little stuff in the stitching on the garment. As a matter of fact, I wear bespoke clothing every day. And I'm not patting myself on the back. It just so happened that that's what I choose to wear because then it's made specifically for my anatomy. And as I also indicated, that there are no two bodies alike. So O2R has been working for us in the past, but at the turn of the century, primarily in the 1930s, as you can see, the name of my design line is called Gab 1930s. And primarily it came from the root word of the word gabardine, and I'm using the word gab, and it also has an acronym for genuine, authentic, bespoke. That means, in essence, even if you go to a department store or boutique and you see the Gab logo or signature on that garment will be what we call unfinished garment or a garment that the tailor himself could close it up to fit your anatomy. And that's what we're going to be seeking in the future because, after all, my whole desire now is to get everybody out of denim. Denim is a no-no. Denim is a staple in most people's wardrobe nowadays. Denim industry is taking over, and denim primarily is not what we would consider as a genuine fabrication. Denim is primarily a canvas. And if you ever read anything about the story, the Levi Strauss story, you'll find out that Levi had the denim created for people who had ranches and who had farms because they needed a durable canvas-type material that was durable enough to withstand all of that type of work and under those different conditions of being on the saddle of a horse, up in on a wagon, or some other type of obstruction, of any other type of material that would rub against the material if you were wearing a softer type material that was made out of wools or any other type of fabrication. But anyway, getting off of that subject matter, I just like to just give everybody a little highlight about what's going on in the garment and the fabric industry. It's just that we're going to talk about shirts today. Now, most people who purchase high-end shirts, even from OTR, and term OTRs mean off the rack, by the way, for the new listeners. Primarily, the type of fabric in most shirts, the high-end shirts, would be Sea Island cotton or Egyptian cotton. Those particular cottons are the premier cottons of the shirt industry and the high-end apparel industry is those two cottons. I prefer Sea Island cotton, not so much that I want to say that the Egyptian cotton is just as well, but I prefer the Sea Island cotton. The Sea Island cotton has a better wear appeal to me. But anyway, we're talking about custom fits today. Primarily for a man with a chest size of about 42 to 45 inches, we'll need roughly about 1.5 to 2 inches of yard, 2 inch of fabrication to make a shirt, primarily about 40 in width is what you will need in order to make a decent custom-made shirt with French cuffs on the end of the shirt. And the reason why I'm mentioning French cuffs is that you can always go to any department store, any boutique, and find a shirt with buttons on the sleeve. But if you're making a custom-made shirt, I think you should be wearing it with silk knots or cufflinks, just to put that little extra-ness on the particular shirt and your choice of collars. We're going to talk about different types of collars, too, today that most men don't know about or not aware of, because most people just look at the collars that have the peaks on it, what we call a peak collar. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the grill of the shirt, the flat shirts, what type of buttons and things to put on it. But first, let's go with the fit. The fit is the whole idea of getting the best look in the shirt. The first thing, what will we start with? We will measure your neck first. We need to know how many inches there are completely around your neck in order for you to get the right comfort and the right fit to button that top button. We're going to measure from the neckline over to the end of the shoulder. And we're going to find out exactly where to put that sleeve at and that shirt on your anatomy. Next, we're going to measure from the shoulder all the way down to the wrist so we can get the length of that shirt that we need to fit your anatomy. The next measurement, we're going to measure your chest. And we're going to give you somewhere in there between like a half an inch and 3/4 inch across your chest. What we mean by that, if your chest is 42 inches across, we're going to cut that shirt at 42 3/4 inches. Now, if you want a little bit more room, we'll go at least like an inch, just in case you might gain a little weight. But what we're going to do with wearing custom-made clothing, primarily, people who wear custom-made clothing do not gain that much weight. And primarily, this will help you to keep your body in shape as well, because you know that you will not be able to fit into those type of clothing if you were to gain excessive weight. The next thing that we're going to measure around your belly button. We're going to measure that next, and we're going to get that particular measurement. The next is we're going to go and we're going to measure down the back that we're going to do the tail of the shirt. So we're going to get that measurement next. Once we get all of these measurements complete, next the thing that we're going to go and we're going to measure your wrist. We're going to find out how many inches there is around your wrist. The next measurement that we're going to do, we're going to measure your shoulder blade, and we want your arm bent, and we're going to measure your arm bent as opposed to your arm being straight. So we're going to get that measurement. Primarily, all of the measurements that I just mentioned are what you will need in order to get the custom fit to a custom-made tailored bespoke shirt. Next, you will choose the type of fabrication that you want to get that shirt made out of. The next thing we will do is to find out what type of collar do you want. Do you want a cutaway collar? That's the collar where the shirt collar comes and it cuts away. The next shirt collar that we're going to talk about is the peak collar. That's the standard collar that most of the manufacturers make that's in the apparel industry, is the peak collar. The next collar that we're going to talk about is the round collar. It's rounded at the edges. There's no peak on it. The next one we're going to speak about is the spread collar. The spread collar nowadays, I know a lot of the athletes now wearing the spread collar, because I think Kenny Anderson and some of those guys on the on TNT basketball broadcast, I've heard Charles Barkley mention the word bespoke, even though I don't want to comment about that right now, but that's another show. And a lot of those athletes have started wearing the spread collar. And I'm going to tell you who made that collar popular, the Duke of Windsor. Now, in the Europeans' world, and I'm not just taking shots at races or whatever, they figure, and they will always mention, other than over in America, we're going to talk about Fred Astaire as being one of the best dressed in America. And whenever you're talking about on an international broad, they're going to say the Duke of Windsor was the best dressed male European person on the earth. And as a matter of fact, even to this day, they are still auctioning off and selling the Duke of Windsor's wardrobe to this day because of some of those custom-made bespoke garments that he had manufactured when he was alive. As a matter of fact, I think he was a player too, so he had a lot of women too. Because one thing that the women do like about a man, this is a well-dressed man as opposed to a man that's got money. But if a man is well-dressed and he has money and he's smart, he's at the top of the female food chain. But anyway, not jumping off on that subject right now. We're going to save it with the custom-made shirt thing because ideally that's the primary reason why that we're having this broadcast today. And this is the reason why I'm introducing the Gab 1930s apparel line. People say, well, maybe at your age, most designers start when they're young, but I'm not most designers. I started out having a subscription of GQ magazine when I was a young male, when most of my friends was around playing basketball and riding bicycles and all of that stuff. I was at home reading my GQ magazine and trying to find out what was the latest tradition in style and fashion and clothes, but I had to keep it to myself because they would have thought something else about me, and that would have been cracking jokes and asking me I didn't want to go and hoop and shoot basketball. But I was trying to find out how can I look nice. Even if I don't have some money, I at least want to be dressed nice, and I want to know what was the best fabrication. But anyway, that's another story, too. I'm going to talk about that one if I get a longer broadcast, bring the history of how I really got so much involved in this and why it's part of my pet peeve at this particular moment now that I'm talking about this, and I am launching this particular garment, these type of garments in nowadays. Because I did refresh the people about the 1930s was the best dress era in America. Most of the clothing and most of the garments that was made by the people back in those days, everything was custom made. Even the children had custom made bespoke clothing on. And another thing, too, people had complete attire on their bodies. They had the hat, they had the footwear, they had the suit, they had the shirt, they had the necktie. So they had the complete ensemble. But that's one of the primary reasons that the industry has dictated to the people and got the people from wearing real clothing and real apparel and started calling it fashion. But the Gab 1930s is not in the fashion. We're into style. You build your wardrobe with us, and I guarantee you, nowhere will you go on the planet that you will not get comments. Everywhere I go, even if I go in the grocery store, I'm dressed. If I go into Home Depot, I'm dressed. I get comments everywhere I go, or I find some women out popping flavors on me. But anyway, I'm not just doing that just to get the flavors popped. I'm doing that because I love dressing, and I love being in the best apparel and the best in men's clothing attire. And I love having the complete outfit on or the complete ensemble on every day of my life. So that's one of the things that's motivating me to get people back into dressing again, because I noticed that that's one of the rare things that's lost in the society today, that the children are dictating to the parents as to how they should look. And I want to help get the balance back into that arena and get sagging out. If you take the word saggy and you spell it backwards, you'll be surprised at what the look is and what that word say if you just turn that word back around and spell it the other way. You'll be surprised at what you will see. But damn 1930s, it's going to put the right rise back in the men's trousers. We're going to get the men out of slacks, and we're going to get them out of pants, and we're going to put them in the trousers. We're going to put men back into the real look. So no matter where you work at, you'll dress off before you hit the street. On your way to work, they'll think you're a Wall Street businessman. But when you get to work, you can change off, put on your work clothes, do the work that you need to do. And when you get ready to come back home in the evening, I want you to have the Gab 1930s on. Of course, we know that there's a lot of designers out there and a lot of people are competing in this industry, but this is not a competition for us. This is a style. This is a way of building a wardrobe. This is a way of getting the best proper fit that's necessary for each and every one of the listeners who tune in or choose to tune into this broadcast on every Wednesday at 3 p.m. coming live. And it's not to take any shots at anybody else in the industry. It's just that others always come to improve what is already is there already. And this broadcast and program is about the improvement of helping you to get the best proper fit that you need so that that way your attire and your apparel will be up to par and you will always look the part no matter what the event is or what time of the day it is. We make sure that you will have the best on your body. But again, I wish to thank you all for tuning into this broadcast, and I appreciate doing this, and I appreciate all of my listeners for listening in, because it's very important with having the support and the motivation that comes along with to inspire creative people, and creative people need the people, and we need your energy in order to make this happen, because after all, not only is your participation in it is just purchasing the garments, but it's also in helping to approve the appearance of people as well as yourself. So we are not just here just to get your monies from you. We also want to make sure that even if you choose another designer's apparel, that you're getting the best possible fit that's necessary, that's out there, that's on the market today, and to make sure that those designers are choosing the best fabrication. Because if you notice that whenever I'm talking about a garment, I always talk about what type of fabrication should go in the creation and the tailoring of that particular garment that you can get the best possible fit. Some people choose certain type of fabrication that goes along with them, and we're going to talk about getting that certain look and that certain type of soir, so you can get that soir back into your walk. Because I notice when people are dressed well, they have a tendency to have a certain type of characteristic about themselves and a certain type of swagger and a certain type of walk. I want to mention something else, too, about that shirt. Have you ever noticed, like, sometimes men will take their jacket off and all of a sudden it looks like their jacket was puffed up with air? You can imagine now, by me giving you the proper measurement, why that air is in the back of that shirt. Because, number one, that shirt was purchased off the rack, OTR. That shirt was not made for him. That's why you see that air and that big puff in the back of that shirt. That's not the proper fit. Right away, something is wrong with that particular shirt. And if somebody is wearing a shirt like that, they take the jacket off and it puffs up in the back, you see all that air, right away you know, oh, this shirt, he doesn't know how to choose the right shirt. He can fit his body by going by 16, 17 and a half, neck size, proper sleeve length, and all of those things. But I also suggest, too, if you're going out to purchase something, I say you should take a tape measure with you. Measure yourself and measure what you're choosing from the rack. If it doesn't fit your measurement, then you're not going to get a proper fit. So there is no ifs, ands, or buts about this, and this is not to take a shot at any of the garments that's on the rack. This is all basically about you getting the necessary fit that makes the apparel that you're choosing will represent who you are, how you like to look, and how you like for your attire to be adorned in your body. So this is the primary reasons why we're mentioning taking the tape measure with you. because that's a part of taking any other tool. If you were going bowling, you take your bowling ball and your bowling shoes. So if you're going shopping for a garment, why wouldn't you take your tape? Because you're going to know what your drop needs to be. You're going to know what your rise needs, because tuning into this program, I'm going to tell you what all of these things should be. And if you can't find those particular garments on the rack, that's why I am branding Gab 1930s, so that I know that you will go and you will be able to find a garment that's incomplete. What I mean by incomplete garment will be left open for the tailor that works at that boutique or at that department store to close those incomplete parts of the garment that will fit your anatomy, so that way you can get the proper fit. Say, for instance, like the jacket sleeves are incomplete or not finished yet. So sometimes you'll go and you'll find, like, not even the closings of the bottom part of the jacket to get the proper length. But to get the proper length of the jacket, we're going to discuss that at another time. But right now, the tail of your shirt should either have the peaks on it and the vent in the side of it. And the vent, and the vents are done for the men, is to take, let your zipper down, put your hand in the inside of your trousers and pull the shirt down all the way into your trousers, so that way you don't get it to rise up. That's the reason why the vents are on the shirt. So now you know several of the secrets of the industry and how to get the proper fit of a shirt. I know it's kind of detail necessary if you want to get that certain kind of look, and you don't want to look like the people who don't know, as opposed to looking like the person who does know. And one of the many reasons why that we want you to look that way is because the industry will start to cater to the people, as opposed to just cutting some big oversized clothing, because it gives the confidence in the individual that he got a casual look or a casual fit, and he wants to feel relaxed. I'm just as relaxed in dress clothes as I would be in casual clothing, because I have the proper fit. And that's one of the primary reasons why people choose those oversized garments that they think that they should be choosing from the rack, because it doesn't fit properly. And I'm going to talk about sweaters too, and how a sweater should fit on the body, because I noticed even the sweaters situation has gotten out of hand in America when it comes to having proper fits. So this program is going to be Lengthy. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be with you. You can always tune in. I feel as though the 30 minutes of this broadcast would be enough, because it guides you that week. And the looking at what you have in your closet, looking at what you might be choosing if you're a weekend shopper or you're a daily shopper. We just want to make sure, again, that the brand that you're going to be looking for is the Gab 1930s brand. That's the brand that's going to make the men look like the men again, because I'm here to help you. I'm a designer, and I know what men are looking for, and I know what makes them feel comfortable. So that's the primary reason I'll be telling you about fit, bespoke, custom-made, artisan, and all of the people that goes in the industry of building a proper fit and building the suit. As I indicated, we talked about the suit before, and the people that work with me, we put in approximately 71 to 72 hours in the building of a suit, as opposed to us sewing a suit for you. So we're going to talk about those things again, and about the necktie. The necktie around the collar is important too. So in order to get that comfortable fit, you don't want to choke yourself. You definitely don't want to hang yourself. But you do want the shirt to have enough room around the collar where you could put two fingers in, like a finger from your right hand and a finger from your left hand, should fit around in between your collar, even with the necktie on it. So hopefully everything is going to go well, and your choosing of a shirt in the future, and to get the proper fit, even if it's not the Gab 1930s, but we prefer, and we're going to make sure that we will have all of the neck sizes. If not, we definitely will make sure that the shirt collar is also incomplete on the shirt. So when you go to the tailor could close the shirt collar up so that way you can get the proper fit as well. Because these things are necessary when it comes to bespoke clothing. But as I indicated to you, this particular clothing line will be the first bespoke clothing line ever on OTR in the present or in the past or in the future. We are going to be the leaders of the industry. Just look out for us and look out for that brand. It's a black and white brand with the word 1930s. That's 1930S with the word GAD in front of it with a man leaning back on the Gap brand. So as you look for those other brands in your footwear or your sportswear or your casual wear, we want you to start looking for the Gap 1930s brand as well, because that's the brand that's going to set the standard in the industry. And we just don't want you just to be followers of the Gap 1930s brand. We want you to adorn that brand on your anatomy and make sure that you see the Gap 1930s brand in your eyes as you go to sleep every night. We want you just to look for the Gap, all the department stores, all the clothing stores. Every time you look around, go in your department store today. Go in your boutique today. Ask them, do you care the Gap 1930s line? Make them start the thinking right now that this is something not in the future, that this is something in the present, and that if they don't have the Gap 1930s line in that particular boutique or that department store, they need to seek the design out. They need to seek this company out, because right away, we're looking for the best. You're looking for the best in apparel. We're looking for you to be wearing the best in apparel and the garments. On that note, I'm going to conclude this broadcast, and I appreciate you tuning in again, and I look forward for all of you listeners to be back with me once again. Thank you again. Have a nice day. Gab 1930.